When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now, he is Chad Ryder, NFL draft analyst for NFL.com. Follow him on Twitter at Chad_Ryder. Chad, how are we doing today?
We're doing excellente like Lindy Infante today, my man.
Man, what are you doing? Charlie Usen has no idea who Lindy Infante is. I love the reference. I love it. I'm down with it, right? Leroy Butler's first coach. I'm down with Lindy Infante. You have no idea who Lindy Infante is.
No clue.
You have no idea clue. That he went to the Colts after the Packers either, do you?
Could not have told you that.
Nope. No idea. The Makowski went with him to Indianapolis. You don't remember that either?
Nope.
No. Yeah, see? Young guys, man. He's a year out of college. He doesn't know any of this history, Chad. Doesn't know any of it.
Yeah. That's why old men like ourselves, you know, need to let them know what's up.
Yeah, I try. I really, really do. But it's sometimes more difficult than others. Okay, before we get to some of the mock drafts, some of the names that are floating around there that might be of interest to Green Bay, I have a general question for you about Wisconsin, okay? Maybe two general questions about Wisconsin. My first question is, if you were coaching at Wisconsin, what type of offense would you want to run at Wisconsin?
Well, I think based on the type of players that you're going to be able to recruit, I think you need a ball control offense. I think you need the formula that worked for many years. And I think that's the kind of guys because you can get a lot of running backs from all over the country. It's a lot more difficult to get a great quarterback to come here. We've dealt through the transfer portal the last couple of years. Hasn't worked that great. But I think you need to have that kind of attack to maximize what you can do with the guys you can get.
Chad, my next question is, Luke Fickell has been here now 2 years, so his recruiting class this year were freshman and sophomore. He's got another recruiting class on the way that should be top 20 or somewhere in that area for 25, so they only have three recruiting classes. As we sit right now, how does this roster size up to previous rosters of Barry, Bielema, and Chris from a talent perspective in your mind? As a guy that has been evaluating the draft for quite a long time, as far as what the Badgers used to put into the draft from first-rounders and second-rounders on a year-to-year basis to where we are now?
Well, I mean, let's not pretend the Badgers had, like, six day one and two picks in the past. You know, they didn't. They'd have a guy in the first round and maybe a guy or two on day two and some guys later in the draft. So, I mean, let's not get that confused, but I think they have some work to do. I think they had a really solid offensive line this year. I mean, in terms of guys that can generally play, they didn't always help out, didn't always perform as well as you'd like. But I think it's a solid but not great roster. The problem is in the Big Ten, they're going to be like at best the sixth best team the way things are shaping up right now. And so it's going to be very difficult for them to make headway against the Oregons and the Washingtons and et cetera that come in. So I think they're a middle of the road Big Ten team. And I think some SEC teams are figuring out the same thing after you invite Texas and Oklahoma and Missouri and Texas A&M and bring in all these teams. And you're like, oh, I guess we're going to lose four or five games every year now. I think that's kind of where the Badgers are at.
Let's talk about the Packers and some of the guys that might be of interest to the Packers there at the end of the first round. I know we're in December, but this is the time of year where everybody starts to pick up the pace a little bit, start looking at the draft because there's only four games left in the season. The college football season is done until bowl game season begins here in the next week or so. So this is kind of where everybody starts talking about it. Then it really picks up during bowl season and takes off come combine time around end of February. Draft is in Green Bay this year, which also will amp it up in this area. Late first round is where we're expecting the Packers, obviously, to be at this point. Cornerback, for me, makes the most sense. But I got to tell you, there doesn't appear, to me at least, reading what I've read, to be a lot of cornerbacks that are slated to go in the first round this year. And one of the guys that I know you like is that Barron kid out of Texas.
Yeah, he's really a fantastic player, and I think he could be available a little bit later because, you know, he's not 6'3", and maybe he doesn't run a 4.4 40, but he's a fantastic football player, and he has been for Texas since, you know, his freshman year. So I really like him. I think not a lot of corners are projected at this point, but I think some of them will kind of rise up through the process. Trey Amos from Ole Miss, for example, has had an excellent year. He could be a first-rounder by the time the process is all done. You don't know what Siobhan Revell, an East Carolina guy that got hurt early this year, if he comes out and works out really well, he could sneak into the first. So I think more guys will be projected there as the process goes. But for now, if the Packers looked for a corner, which I think they need to, a guy like Barron would be, you know, a fantastic pickup.
I kind of thought when Denzel Burke got to Ohio State and started playing that he eventually would be a first-round pick. I don't think you agree with me.
No. He hasn't been. He's been fine. He's a day-two guy. And that's the thing. Like, the thing the Packers really need this year on defense, there's some decent depth. But whatever they don't get in the first round, they should be able to get in second and maybe in the third round as well. So a guy like Burke is going to probably be a second-round pick. There's a guy, Darian Porter, is like a tall corner out of Iowa State. He could be in that conversation. There's some guys that they could get in the second round at corner that just have. Burke is not, he's kind of slight, not very strong. He's missed a lot of coverage. He's not sure where his brain is sometimes, but he's competitive. He's athletic, and teams will give that guy a chance on day two.
I'm not giving that guy a chance on day two when Chad Ryder tells me sometimes I don't know where his brain is. I'm not taking him, Chad. You're not fooling me.
I'm just saying some team will take a chance on day two. There's not, you know, there's not that many guys that are that athletic and that competitive that you can stick on a field. They're not first rounders, but they're certainly not going to last until day three.
Defensive line obviously is going to be another area of need for the Packers. Chad Ryder of NFL.com joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. From the aspect of Kenny Clark, he's getting better in the second half of this year. I think he's getting healthy, which is good. He's gotten better. Slayton maybe hasn't made as many plays as maybe one wanted, but just in general, they're not getting as much pressure on the quarterback either. So you can look at edge, you can look at defensive line. I look at the Packers run defense right now, and I was looking at it this morning. They're top 10 right now in yards allowed on the ground. And on average, they're like top 6 or 7 with like a 4.1 average, which to me seems like a significant improvement over what we've been talking about for the last decade or so. So it's going in the right direction. We had Jacob Morley on earlier from Packer Report, and I told him, I love that Walker kid, that defensive tackle from Kentucky. 6'6", 350, can move a little bit. A mammoth human being. Put him in the middle of this defense. Let him block some balls getting thrown. Let him grab some running backs going by. And occasionally he'll get, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 sacks a year. I'm good. I'll take it. He's a more athletic version of Devondre Sweat out of Texas last year is how I look at it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, he is a more athletic guy. Now, the problem is that Sweat grew as a player throughout his career, while has Walker kind of took a step back. He wasn't as productive, didn't force his way out of double teams enough. But still, I mean, all the things you just talked about, the combination of size and athleticism, you know, a lot of people didn't like Jordan Davis out of coming out of Georgia because of the same reason. And he's been fantastic. A lot of people complain about Jalen Carter's practice, you know, his being excited about practice never was really. But Walker has that, flashes that talent. And so he's announced that he's, you know, leaving school. So he looks like he wants to be in that first round mix. But again, his film this year wasn't as good. So it wouldn't shock me if he ended up in the second round like Sweat did last year.
I'd take him in a heartbeat if he got to the second round, because I wanted Sweat in the first round last year, and he ended up falling to the second. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, if Sweat or Jordan Morgan, I don't know how that little comparison is going to work out going forward, but there's far right. more of a need for Sweat right now on this Packers defense than there is Jordan Morgan.
Yeah. Well, I liked Graham Barton more than Jordan Morgan too. So I don't know what was considered that. And the Packers will have to get offensive linemen later in the draft too. I mean, let's not forget about that. Josh Myers is a free agent. I don't know that they want him back. They picked Jacob Monk last year, but I think they're going to be looking at a tackle and at a center at some point in the draft too. So probably not until day two or early day three.
And that brings up a Wisconsin kid, Jack Nelson. Where does he go?
I like him in round three or early round four. And I think Jack would be a great fit in Green Bay. I think he could. He's played left tackle with the Badgers. I think he could probably go to the right side if they give him a shot there, if they need him there. But I think if you put him on the left side, if they, depending on what they want to do with Rashid Walker, you know, for the long term, I think Jack's film is much better. If he would have come out last year, I'm not sure where he would have been drafted, maybe in the same spot, but I think his film was a little bit better this year. So, like, if he works out really well, maybe he slides into the back of round two, maybe. But he was better this year, and I think teams can really see the athleticism and just the size and the strength are getting better over the last couple of years. So I think he's a potential pretty solid middle of the day two kind of guy.
What are the deepest positions projected right now when we start talking about the first round of this NFL draft? What positions are you like, these potentially could be the two really deep positions where, you know, you got 8-10 guys, you know, that might be there. They're considered first round or late first, early second type of guys.
Yeah, I think edge, there's a lot of edge rushers that are going to be picked up. We've had a couple down years in pass rushers, but this year it's going to be higher. You could have a guy like Jack Sawyer from Ohio State go in the middle of round two, just because there are so many. Landon Jackson from Arkansas is a really guy. People aren't talking about him nearly enough. 6'7", 260, hustle player. There's so much to like about him, and I think he would look fantastic in Green Bay's defense at the end of round one. Even if edge isn't their number one need, at some point you look at the best players and he's there. And, you know, Sawyer and Tui Molo from Ohio State, both those guys are going to be in the mix in the top 50. There's so many guys that are really good at the edge. And look, one of Jeff Hafley's guys at Boston College, Ezeraku, is on the edge too. He's like a 6'2", 250 guy, which isn't huge. But if you want more of your larger guys, Gary, and maybe move Van Ness inside more often, you get a guy like Ezeraku on the edge to be more of a you know, pure pass rusher. You know, they can get him in round two, and I think they'd be pretty happy.
Is Van Ness the player you thought he'd be when he came out?
Not yet. No, I think he flashed the last couple weeks. He's been pretty good. I think once they moved Preston Smith, I think they gave him a little more opportunity to do what he can do. And frankly, like, you know, when you picked him, you knew that he had to grow yet. And so I'll be very interested to see if next year they do play him more three technique, and especially in more passing situations. And I think he may even be better there. But, you know, so far it hasn't been great. But, you know, you kind of knew that when you came in. He was a little on the raw side, but I thought we would have seen it a little bit more by now. When he had a couple sacks the other night, it was nice to see that he can make those plays, and maybe, you know, year three is the year where he really steps in. Not every player becomes great within the first year and a half. You know, I think let's not give up on him, but he hasn't quite been there. He hasn't come as quickly as I hoped it would.
Well, speaking of giving up, that was going to be my last question. But since you brought up giving up on a player, everybody's given up on Quay Walker for the most part at this point. Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about him coming out. You know, great athlete. I just wasn't sure the instincts were there. I don't know that he fits Halfley's system either. I think he's not really the Mike linebacker you want in that position. So I'll be interested to see how they handle that. But, you know, it's interesting. Cooper and Tyron Hop, I mean, we haven't seen much from them just because of injuries and all that. So they're going to have to step up. So I think this next year, they have to go free agent route, probably for a couple of veterans again at linebacker, and hope that Cooper and Hopper, you know, are able to stay healthy next year.
And the good news is they're going to have a ton of money available. So they're going to be able to go get pretty much whoever they want come free agency if they want to go play in that pool or not. Chad Ryder, NFL draft analyst. Check him out, NFL.com. He is my absolute favorite. Follow him on Twitter at Chad_Ryder. Chad, thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks, Smokey.